Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
We here at Ablaze have a theme for the whole year. It's up there on the wall. It's called His Story in 2024. Whoa. Excuse me on that one. Lost my pack. His story, God's story, is our story. History is about His story. We live in a day and age where the world wants to take Christ, that is God, out of history. What is the church? The church is a place where we make sure we know our history, His story. It is the Holy Spirit who moved Mark to record history. Mark is a historian who records what happened during his time and what he saw himself and what others said. Last week, we left off with chapter 3. And in chapter 3, we learned from the Bible about the worst thing that could ever happen to you in your life. You ever heard somebody say, oh, it could be worse? Well, it is Mark that makes it perfectly clear. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to you because Jesus proclaimed it. It is if you sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, you can sin against the Heavenly Father and it'll be forgiven. You can sin against Jesus and it will be forgiven. It is Jesus who warns everybody, be careful. If you sin against the Holy Spirit, whoo, that's serious business. It won't be forgiven. Let me give you the context real quick. People looked at Jesus and said, he's evil. They looked at him healing somebody and they said, that's bad. They looked at Jesus casting out an evil spirit and they said, that's the devil's work. Their heart was so hardened, they called good bad and bad good. They looked at God Almighty on earth, Jesus, and they said, he's Satan. And Jesus said, whoa, 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 be careful. Be really careful because I have given you the Holy Spirit. And if you say to the Holy Spirit who points to me, you die. That's unforgivable. So that's chapter 3. We're moving to chapter 4. That happens immediately. Okay, but before we get into chapter 4, I want to tell you something about my life. I teach 13 sixth graders at Emmanuel Lutheran School religion. I teach religion. It's 1 hour before lunch. 13 six boys and I think it's 7 girls come rushing in. They're hungry. They're, you know, ready to be tied up. I mean, they're fit to be tied. They're anxious. They want to get out for lunch and they come into my class and all they want to do is this. Imagine yourself, sixth graders. Now the boys want to impress the girls. The girls could care less. The boys have a competition. Who can disrupt Pastor Dreyer's class the most? Many times you can understand that I look at 13 sixth graders and say, be quiet. Listen up. Now every Friday I give a test. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I emphasize what I'm going to test them on. I will say to the students, listen up. On Friday, on the test, you're going to need to know who split Old Testament history in two. Did you hear that? I didn't say history in two. I said Old Testament history in two. I said it's Abraham, 2000 BC, he was born. On the test on Friday, listen up, write this down. You're going to have to know that. And I look out among 13, and about 6 will be going. The other 6 are going, why do I need to know that? Okay? I know everything already. And I'll say it again. Listen up. Write this down. On Friday, you're going to be given a test. This is it, what is on the test. And I'll tell them every question and answer. Friday comes around, they take the test, half fail, half pass. The next week they go, how come I failed? It's not fair. And I go, did you listen to me? Did you write anything down? And they answer, no. This goes on week after week, folks. They're just preoccupied. Got so many things going on in sixth grade. Well, if you can understand that, imagine trying to teach a group of adults who got so many things going on, a crowd of adults, and Jesus literally has to say, listen, I want to teach you something because I'm going to give you a test. That's chapter 4. Let's dig into it. Okay? All right. Chapter 4, verse 1. Again, I can relate to this. Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them. This is so important. Jesus said again and again, that's what I'm here for. I want to teach you about the kingdom of God. And he was teaching them many things in parables. What's a parable? An earthly story. What's a parable? Just a story that everybody can understand. Okay? But it has a physical and a spiritual teaching about it. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen. Now, what you don't get in English is what you get in Greek. In the Greek language, this is a command with force. Let me say it in a way you might understand. Listen! I have to say that to the sixth graders all the time. But I say it in this way. Shut up and listen. In my mind, that is. You can imagine Jesus, big crowd. They're not focusing on what he's teaching. This is life and death stuff. And so he tells a story that everybody understands. You can remember when you were a child in elementary school, putting a plant, a seed, maybe a bean into a cup with paper towel, and it grew. Maybe you remember planting a garden. Maybe you've seen it. It's pretty common even today. But back during the time of Jesus, everybody knew what it was, how it was to plant seeds, plant gardens. Okay? All right. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. A farmer went to plant crops. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Understandable. Others seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And then he reminds them, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's like me saying to my sixth grade, you have ears, Friday's the test. And some sixth grade boy is going, I wonder what Kristen is doing this weekend. She's so cute. There's probably another boy going, why do I care? Somebody's probably thinking about, there's pizza today. Now imagine this crowd. Oh, look at over there, Elizabeth. I need to introduce myself to her. Somebody's probably going, I came to see a miracle. I came to see a demon exorcised. And he tells me a story about a farmer. Who cares? Somebody else is probably going, it's lunchtime, I'm hungry. And I'd like to have some of that grain and fruit. Okay? And then there's others who are probably listening and taking notes. That's understandable. Let's see what happens. Verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. They were curious. And he said to them, to you, listen up. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. To you has been given the key. But for those outside, everything is in parables. It's just a story. All right. Let me try to explain this to you. The Holy Spirit moved men to write this book called the Bible. The Bible is God's word from cover to cover. Whenever it's taught, whenever it's preached, whenever Jesus taught the kingdom of God and tried to teach people, the Holy Spirit works and moves. Faith cometh through hearing. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. And the first thing the Holy Spirit does is convict you of your sin. That means you're not perfect. And he tells you that. And he lets you know clearly you're going to die. And there's nothing you can do about it. And then the Holy Spirit points you to Jesus as the answer to everything in life, sin, death, and the power of the devil. Listen to the words of Martin Luther. Many of you, if you were raised and had to go to confirmation, know the third article of the Apostles' Creed. If not, let me remind you. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. He has enlightened me with his gifts, and he sanctifies me and keeps me in the one true faith. The third thing the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life is want it to get you to want more. He's going to say, hey, this is the word of God. I want more. Tell me what it means. I need answers. And Jesus is saying, I've given you the key. What is the key? The Holy Spirit. These folks wanted to know more. For the other folks, well, what a wonderful story about a farmer. Big deal. The disciples, the people said, tell us the meaning. They came to Jesus for, listen to what Jesus says. And he rose, excuse me. I flipped the wrong page here. 11. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, the key. But for those outside, everything is a parable, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and they may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. I'll say to my kids, no. Don't listen to me. Don't write it down. For if you did, lest you would get an A. And they just look at me. I'm not writing it down. I'm not listening. See, there are those who are hard when they see Jesus and those that are softened. I said in my prayer, the sun melts wax and hardens clay. The rain nourishes the field and floods a city. Same rain. God's word will soften some people and harden others. 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? All right, here you go. I've given you the key. Remember Peter? Jesus said, who do people say that I am? Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter. Okay, you're a pebble, but it's upon this rock, Jesus, I will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail. You don't understand this parable. How are you going to understand all the parables? Me, Jesus is saying. The Holy Spirit is the key that opens the door, Jesus, so you can see Jesus. How you can understand parables, Jesus. That's why Jesus explains the parable. Let's go on. 15. And these are, 14. The sower sows the word. The seed is the word of God, folks. 15. And these are the ones that along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. The last place Satan wants you to be is here on Sunday morning. And the last thing he wants you to do on Sunday is open up a Bible. He wants the Word of God to be removed from your life. That's why the world wants Jesus out of history lessons in public schools. The devil doesn't want you to read the Word of God when you go home. He wants you to just get it. It's not important. Take it away. 16. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Have you ever met somebody who becomes a Christian, born again, and they're so excited, but a month later or a year later, you never see them? And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. On account of the word. This is the danger zone in schools nowadays. Because let me tell you, teachers, professors will criticize the Bible. Let me tell you about one I heard in college where a professor said, "Oh, you any Christians here?" Someone raised their hand. "Well, let me destroy Christianity for you." You know, criticizing. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus was dead for 3 days? Well, if he died on Friday, the first day is Saturday, the second day is Sunday, the third day is Monday, and you say Jesus rose on Easter, you know, that's not true. Then the whole Bible is not true. Now, if I was in that class, I would say to that professor, when you go home tonight and eat with your lovely wife, and she says, "What did you do all day?" What are you going to say? And you'd say, "Well, I taught students all day." All day, really? 24 hours? No, figure of speech. Well, all right, Jesus was dead on Friday. He was dead on Saturday. He was dead on Sunday. He just rose on the third day. That was Sunday. Not the whole day, 24 hours. You see, people always want to criticize the Bible, but a young student hears that and they go, "Oh, yeah, well, forget the Bible then." For every criticism of this book, there's a reasonable explanation for every criticism. This is the most accurate history book known to man. It's been criticized for thousands of years and never proven to be wrong. Oh, there's a lot of critics, but this book is it. All right, let's go on. 18. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This happens in the church and in many other areas. What happens? The things of the world. Think of all the things that get your attention. There's so many. I gotta have a career. Got to have a job. I got to make money. I got to plan for retirement. If that's number one, you choke off God's word. If you put your spouse before God, you will choke the word of God off. If you put your children before God, who gave you your children and your spouse, you'll choke the word of God off. What do you put before God? Money, debt, school, education, time, you're choking the word of God. And Jesus is just explaining what happens today in the church. The same thing happened 2,000 years ago. There's so many things in our world that choke off the word of God. And Jesus is saying, don't let it happen. Because let me tell you the good news. If you allow that word to dwell inside of you, this is what happens. 20. If you put God first, but those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Let me tell you what that is. The downline of your children and grandchildren. People you know. If you allow the word of God to rule in your life, God says this, it'll multiply. In fact, to those who love him, he says, I will bless to 1,000 generations. Ooh, you have been given a key to a door, and the door to every parable is Jesus. But now he explains things, goes a little deeper. All right, 21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under the bed and not on a stand? Rhetorical question. This is kind of ridiculous. Of course, everybody knows the answer. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Imagine a teacher. Listen to me. Write this down. This is important because I'm going to give you a test. The test is coming, folks. 24. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What is he referring to? The light shining inside of you. Imagine a pastor with a bunch of college students before they go. Now you're going to college. And when you get into college, people are going to maybe laugh at you for being a Christian. You may not have all the influence of mom and dad. Professors may say this or that about the Bible, but hold strong. Be a light. Let everybody know you're a Christian, what you believe. Okay? Months later, same group. How's college? How's things going? Is it difficult to be a Christian in college? And one of the little boys raised his hand, said, okay, tell us, John, what it's like to be a Christian in college. Well, Pastor, nobody has caught on I'm a Christian yet. So it's not hard at all. Really? Isn't that kind of sad? Let your light shine is what Jesus is saying. I've given you so much. Be proud of who you are. I'm so proud that I'm a Christian. I hope you are too. Let everybody know what you believe. Family, friends, children, grandchildren, everybody at work should know you're a Christian is what Jesus is saying. All right, moving on. 29, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. We can't explain how a rock solid dead seed put in the ground begins to grow. That's God's work. He gives life. We don't. He's just explaining the kingdom of God within you moves and grows because God makes it grow. 28. The earth produces by itself, first the blade and then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. This is the promise. The harvest will come. God's kingdom will grow inside of you and others will be influenced. That's the promise. All right. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. In a garden, it's the smallest seed that's planted for a harvest. 32. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes large, larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in the shade. So here's this little seed. It grows. We don't know how. That's the kingdom of God. And it spreads beyond you. This is about the Christian church. This is about the influence a Christian can have. Do such good things for others. 33. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. They had the key. They had him. Now, the test. You listening to me? Have you written this down? Here's the test. Jesus always tests his disciples. And I'm telling you, if Jesus will test his disciples walking on earth, he's going to test every one of you here this morning in your life. Friday is coming. Someday is coming, and there will be a test. All right, here we go. On that day when evening had come, the same day, he said to them, are you listening? Underline this. Let us go across to the other side. Are you listening? Let us go across to the other side. That's his promise. Is this going to be easy? Here's the test. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as it was, and other boats were with them, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. That's the test. In your life, you're going to have trials and tribulations to test you, not to hurt you, to make you stronger. You're going to be in a boat, figuratively speaking, and the waves are going to pass on over. You're going to be married, and it's going to be tough. You're going to raise children, and it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to deal with people, okay? Deal with life. There's going to be storms in life. 38. But he was in the stern of the sleep on a cushion. He knew exactly what was going on. He was testing them. He was all-knowing. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How come I got this failing grade on the test?" You didn't listen to me. You didn't write it down. What did I promise? We will go to the other side. You will get through the problems in life. I will be with you always to the end of age. Nothing will I let happen to you that's too much for you. All right, here we go. And he awoke, 39, and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. There's only one person who can do that. God Almighty is the only one who can calm the wind and the waves. He was sharing with them, "I am God Almighty on earth. Okay, you can trust my words. Nobody else." He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Are you going to fail my test?" All right. And they were filled with great fear. Not the fear of trembling, fear of respect and honor. Wow. They're seeing the key. The Holy Spirit is showing them who Jesus is. And they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey?" The conclusion, Jesus. What are you going to take home? Well, one of the things you can take home, when the word of God is preached, do you realize 25% of what is taught goes in one ear and out the other, 25% of the people. 75% of the people hear it, but 25% of them do not have the soil to take root. 25% of them allow the world to choke off God's word. But there are 25%, one in four, that hear it and go, "Wow, I want more. I want to learn more about this Jesus, this God Almighty on earth who died for my sins." My prayer is that's you. And if you're listening to my voice online, my prayer is you have a hunger like Christian did last night. He said, "I just want to learn more." My prayer is you'll go home and read Mark. My prayer is you'll say, "Lord, I want to know more." And you'll have a hunger for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will work in you and you will grow. You'll go from milk to solid food. You'll grow and become this beautiful life that shines Jesus out of every branch. May that be you. Amen.